I'm told that Socrates, the great Greek philosopher, was considered wise not because he knew all the right answers, but because he knew how to ask the right questions. Questions, the right questions, can be enlightening. They can lead to some very revealing answers. You know, there's a book out called The Book of Questions, and there are some very good questions, interesting questions found within that book. Let me share just one example. While parking your car late at night, you slightly scrape the side of a Porsche. You're certain that no one else is aware of this whatsoever. You know that the insurance will pay for all of the damages. And the question is, would you leave a note? Interesting. Well, not long ago, I heard about a fellow where this actually did happen. He was leaving the restaurant late at night, and he was in a large public parking lot, and was backing his vehicle out, and he backed right into a very expensive car. There was a loud crunch sound that was made. The only difference was there were a number of people that saw what happened. They heard the noise, they turned, and they saw it. So what did this gentleman do? He went into his car, he got a piece of paper and a pen, and he started to write a note. This is what he said. "People think that I am leaving you my name and my phone number and my address, but I am not." And then he folded up the piece of paper and he put it underneath the windshield wiper blade, and he waved at all the people that were there, and then he got in his car and he drove away quickly. Funny thing about questions. They force us to come to terms with the issue. You know, we're in a series right now entitled Wondering, and we're asking some great questions, just a couple to name a few. What are you looking for? Do you believe? And today we ask a question that has to do with compassion. And the question is, do you see this woman? Martin Copenhaver tells the story in his book, Jesus is the Question, of hosting a group in New York City where he was living at the time. They were a group of his friends that were from a small town, and they had come to the big city, and they had secured some tickets to a Broadway theater show, and so they were excited. And Copenhaver tells how he went to the hotel to pick them up to begin the 12-minute walk or so through New York, and through a sketchy part of New York, to get to the theater district. And he said as they were walking along, there was a lot of joy and excitement. They couldn't wait to get there. But he said a few moments later, he heard some gasps behind him, and he turned around, and members of his group had stopped because there was a prostitute there who was distraught and who was crying. And Copenhaver got them and said, "Let's keep moving, keep walking." And they continued to walk. But for the next couple of minutes, he said, you know what, it was quite silent. And he knew that the group, his group of friends behind him, they were processing what they had just seen. And Copenhaver said, you know what, I was silent, but I was silent for a different reason. I was silent because scenes like that before me had just become the norm, just part of the scenery. And Copenhaver had some reflecting to do. You know, I think this ties in pretty closely with our question today. Do you see this woman? We're looking today at Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Jesus being anointed by a sinful woman. But before we get to this text, I want us to look at a verse or two before this text. It'll give us a little bit of context where Jesus has been talking about John the Baptist and who he is, and then we come to the statement that Jesus that is made in Luke chapter 7 verse 30, where it says all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard the words Jesus said, acknowledged that God's way was right. But the Pharisees and the experts of the law rejected God's purposes for themselves. Interesting. And then six verses later, we get one of these Pharisees inviting Jesus to dinner. And that Pharisee's name is Simon. And we can give him the benefit of the doubt and think that perhaps he was, you know, quite interested in Jesus and learning more about him. And so he invites him over for dinner. He wants to hear some more of his stories. But, you know, based on how this account plays out, I suspect this is not necessarily what that Pharisee Simon had in mind. But whatever the reason, Jesus has accepted the invitation, and we are now at the house of Simon the Pharisee, and Jesus is an attendee. So let's read verses 36 to 38 to get us started here in Luke chapter 7. It says this, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them away with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Interestingly, you know, there are spectators at this event. I don't know if you noticed that. It's a little different for us, right? It's not the norm today. That wouldn't typically happen. But apparently back then it was not that uncommon. Doors would often remain open, allowing extra friends, beggars, or simply, you know, curious passers-by to wander in and see what was going on. Additionally, all the guests would have been reclining on mats, as it said, leaning on their arm or on their elbow with their legs extended out away from the table and away from the food. They were just enjoying a great evening, a great time with food. And so this woman who is observing this party is right beside Jesus' feet. And this wouldn't have seemed that out of place, actually. But then, friends, things do get a little bit weird. The woman begins to cry on Jesus' feet. She stood behind him, weeping at his feet, verse 38 tells us. And then she touched his feet and then let her hair down. All things that a woman would not do in public in Jesus' day. Now things have gotten quite strange. What's going on? There must have been murmuring and people whispering, some gasps in the room. This was unacceptable. This was just awkward. It was totally inappropriate. And I'm sure Simon the Pharisee was horrified. In Simon's mind, if Jesus had any sense at all, he would be humiliated too. And yet Jesus is doing nothing. He is just letting the woman carry on. In verse 39, it says, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And then Jesus responds by saying, Simon, I've got a question for you. And this is what Simon is likely expecting, maybe a riddle from Jesus. I was reading in some of the commentaries that this wasn't that uncommon. It would have been customary at these gatherings for stories and riddles to be told. It was a form of entertainment. And so Jesus begins with what Simon may have thought was going to be a riddle. But Jesus says in verse 40, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And then, friends, notice what Jesus does with his body in verse 44. It says that he turns towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? He's talking to Simon, but he is looking at her. Friends, this may be the first and only time at an event like this where this woman is truly seen. I want us to talk for just a moment about Simon's sight and what Simon did and didn't see. First, we know that Simon hasn't really seen Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus is in front of him, but his first reaction is that Jesus must be a fraud. He is no prophet. He should know what kind of woman this was, that she had a reputation, that she was a sinner. And so when then Jesus says to Simon, do you see this woman? Well, obviously, Simon does see this woman. She has just made a laughing stock of him. Fairly hard to miss. So Jesus is not asking whether or not Simon sees her with his eyeballs. He certainly has. Jesus' question must mean something else. Do you see this woman? I mean, it's quite possible to see something without really seeing it, right? I was reading the story of a young married couple who at their wedding, they got some interesting gifts. And one of the gifts they got was this aqua-colored mirror and frame. And so they got this aqua-colored mirror and frame, and they thought, this is a unique gift. And of course, a year went by. They couldn't find a place to put it in their new home together. And so they decided after a year, let's have a garage sale. And this is going in the garage sale. The garage sale wasn't on for more than 20 minutes, and somebody, a gentleman, quite excited, came up to them and said, wow, this is amazing. Just $2 for this brand new mirror. In fact, they haven't even peeled the plastic off of it yet. And then right in front of that young married couple, that man peeled off that aquafilm plastic right before them. I mean, that couple, they had seen the mirror, but they really hadn't seen it, right? I wonder, friends, how often we run around with an aqua-colored film on our eyes. We see the label, but we miss the human. We miss the person. And Simon, as Jesus' question implies, doesn't really see her. He sees her reputation. He sees the negative impact that she's having on his party and on his reputation, but he does not see her. You know, someone once said, the essence of love is to notice someone. The essence of love is to notice someone. Oftentimes, people in our circle, they need a look, a word, or a touch. They need to be noticed. And so Jesus says, do you see this woman? But there's one more person in this story who Simon doesn't see, and that's himself. Here's how Jesus continues in verse 44. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. You know, up until this point in the story, you can figure that Simon most likely considers himself to be quite righteous. What in the world are Jesus and this woman doing here at my party? They have lost their minds. It's become chaotic here. And Jesus turns the story and first of all points out that Simon hasn't even shown basic hospitality to him. Foot washing, a kiss, anointing with oil, none of that. You know, these things were not required per se, but they were pretty standard signs of gracious hospitality in Jesus' day. Simon has also failed to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He's failed to see the woman as a human being. And Jesus points all of this out. And up until this point, I'm sure Simon has been looking at everybody else like they're the ones with the issue. They're the ones with the problem. Simon's awareness is lacking severely. So what does Jesus see when he sees this woman? Well, let me start by saying he does see her sin. He says to her, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus acknowledges that in granting her forgiveness, there is some history there. But he doesn't see that as her identity. He doesn't see that as her identity. He doesn't see her solely as a sinner. He sees her as a person, as a human being, created in the image of God. So the question before us today, and I believe the question directed at each of us today, is, do you see this woman? And I believe that this question is intended, I think, to put us in the shoes of Simon for the purpose of self-examination. Do I see the people around me? What is my level of compassion? What is my level of awareness? I do think God wants us to relate to Simon and ask ourselves, where are our blinders? When do we label instead of seeing the human who is standing right in front of us? Because I think this woman looks a lot like a lot of different people that you and I encounter every single day. In a lot of different places, in a lot of different situations. Who are some of the people that I don't always see? Who are some of the people that you don't always see? Maybe it's somebody that you interact with every single day. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a hockey dad or a soccer mom, maybe it's a server that's waiting on your table or a customer service rep who might be getting on your nerves just a little bit, maybe it's somebody who gets their news from a different channel or a person who looks different than you look. Who are some of the people that you don't always see? Do you see them? Do I see them? Or do you and I, do we just see the label? We all saw them with our eyeballs, but Jesus asks the question, do you see them? Did we notice? Do we have eyes of compassion? Again, I say, people in our circle, people that we run into or run with every day are looking for a look, a word, or a touch. A look, a word, or a touch. That small act of compassion could turn a life around. That small act of compassion could turn a life around. And Jesus is here in Luke 7 showing us a better way. Showing us a better way. Scholar and writer N.T. Wright said this, Luke shows us what happens when God's love is in the gospel impacts on a human situation. Now we see in a single incident what this looks like in practice. Social convention is thrown out the window. Forgiveness and love set new standards and raise new expectations. Jesus is showing us a better way. The way of forgiveness, the way of love and care. Even those that we may perceive as enemies or strangers. You know, it's interesting that several of the parables in Luke have a similar reversal at their heart. I think of the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. That prodigal comes back home and he thinks, I'm going to face consequences. There's going to be major punishment. And yet he is greeted with grace and forgiveness and love. I think of the parable in Luke 18 of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And then Jesus concludes by saying, those who want to exalt themselves will be humbled. And those that are humble will be exalted. Jesus turns it on its head. He's showing us a better way. And so I do think that we are to look with some eyes of self-examination. What is my level of compassion these days? But I also think there is another application for us tonight, today. I also know that sometimes we feel like the woman who nobody sees. Right? There might be some of us watching right now who feel this way. Maybe you feel that way right now, maybe all the time. Maybe it's just sometimes you just feel like nobody really sees beyond the label. Whatever that label is, people don't see us for who we really are. It's as though we're invisible. And so I believe another truth from today's scripture is that Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. Not for what you've done, not for what you're doing, not for what you're going to do. Jesus sees you, and he sees you as a child of God. And yes, because you and I are human, we are in need of forgiveness, every single one of us. But when Jesus is looking at you, those things, those labels don't define you. They aren't who you are. He sees you. So let me end again with these questions. Do you see this woman? Whoever and wherever she is, do you see the human standing right in front of you? Because thank God he sees each one of us. And he not only sees us, he forgives us, he cares for us, he loves us. In fact, he loves us so much that he gave his very life for you and for me. Let's pray. God, I confess that I don't always see the human standing in front of me. And so to the extent that any of the rest of us here are guilty of that, we ask for your forgiveness. We pray, God, that you would help us to see the Simon in ourselves. May we not view our neighbor or people as our enemy or as a stranger, but may we view them as a brother or a sister made in the image of God. Help us to not just to see others for who they are, but help us, Lord, to see ourselves for who we are, that we don't always get it right, and that we have often missed it. Help us, Lord, to truly see them, not at them or through them, but to see them as you see them. And so, Jesus, give us eyes to see as you see, eyes of compassion and love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our desire to see people as Jesus sees them, to offer grace and forgiveness and hope. And I think that ties in well with our time around communion right now. We're going to celebrate together communion. I hope you've had time to grab the elements, to grab a piece of bread or a cracker and something that you can drink, and you've got that available for you right now. You know, Jesus last night with his friends, he had a meal. And we know the story. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. And when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat and be thankful." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, friends, in a moment or two, we are going to take and eat together after we've sung a little bit and after I've prayed. But right now, we want to give you an opportunity for some reflection, a time to just ponder and reflect on Jesus and the price that was paid for you and for me. Maybe there's something that you want to bring to him. Maybe there's something that he's brought to mind that you just want to ask forgiveness for. Well, we want to be sensitive to that and just give you a little bit of time right now to reflect. Father, we do thank you for your great love that you have shown to us. We thank you for your son Jesus and all that he means. Lord, thank you for this time where we are reminded of your broken body and your shed blood. And dear Lord, we do long for the day when we will be able to celebrate this time, all of us together. But for now, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love, your sacrificial love. We are so grateful. In your name we pray. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus broken for you. Let's eat together. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Let's drink together to the King.